Let's just open up with some scripture this morning. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 20:24 says, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" And Proverbs 19:21 says, this is the Passion Translation, but I didn't give it to her. "Is a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of God's purpose will succeed in the end." That is a very powerful statement. Only a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of God's purpose will succeed in the end. We can want and pray and dream, but God's purpose in your life, he will plant it in your heart, and he will move on it, his design for you. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the last scripture this morning as we open, Isaiah 48:17-19 says, "Thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Adonai, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If you only had listened to my commandments, then your peace would be like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your seeds would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains." And he says, "Their names would never be cut off or destroyed before me." Today's message talked about your next step is critical. Your next step or your next move is critical. I went bowling last night after our training session, and we took Owen for the first time. So we went to Brazilian lanes, and I just found out that the lanes are really, really slick. But what I really realized is up until the line, so you know you get your ball and you got to make this approach, and then you go like this, and you put your leg to the side and all that stuff, you know, and you slide up to the line. I did pretty good. So I take Owen up there. We're into the second game, so we're used to this. And he's got his ball, and he's gonna roll it. Well, he didn't push it very hard. So I thought, I'm going to stop the ball because it was barely moving. So I stepped over the line. And when I stepped over the line, I didn't realize how oily that surface is. And so I'm like a whale, grabbing Owen's ball. My next step was very critical. The step that I took, not knowing what was going to happen. I knew it was slick, but I didn't know it was that slick. I think towards the middle of that second game, I even went up and I slid and I was on my back again. I got right back up because nobody's looking.
Right.
You know how that is. My back's in good shape. I jumped right up, I'll tell you. Luckily, we was over in lane one. But you know, every one of us is going to come to a place in our life where there's a Y in the road. Even as a Christian, we're going to come into a place where there is a Y in the road. It's a choice. Are you going to choose which direction? There's going to be many Ys in your road because the enemy's going to come up and put these places in for you to take off on. He's going to give you alternate paths. Your next step is critical in how you take that decision. The enemy loves to give you a path that is wide. When you're walking the path of the Christian life, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you feel like the whole world is upon you. But actually, it's not supposed to be that way. But the enemy comes in and starts to dump all this stuff on you. Busyness. People talk about you. Anything that could just consume everything about you where you can't do anything for the Lord. He wants to tie you up and bind you. But what he does is he makes this path look so good. It is wide and beautifully made, set out before you to walk on. And what's he say to Eve? Oh, by no means will you die if you eat. By no means. And so we take that step. And the path is wide and looks easy. Choices we make will lead us down that path. Because what happens is, as soon as you take that path of the enemy, you allow the enemy to come into your spirit. Or into your flesh, should I say. And that path will begin to narrow as you walk that path out as a drug addict. We had that word today. If you're on any type of drugs or medication, addicted to any kind of medication, we had that 2 weeks ago also, I think. Same word. What happens is you're not addicted right off the bat. But the more and more you travel down that path, the narrower and narrower that path gets. And all of a sudden, it begins to close in on you. You know, mountain climbers, when they scale a mountain, every step and every handhold they choose to grab a hold of is thought out. Because every step could be their last. Every handhold could be their last. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom, peace, and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." The enemy wants to take away all of that. He wants to take away your hope. He does not want to give you peace. He wants your spirit to be so congested with all kinds of stuff going on that you cannot even think of the goodness of God. Because your mind is so focused on all this calamity and all this stuff, destruction that the enemy wants to place on your heart. Basically, if we listen to his voice, he takes you off the path that God has intended for you. And the problem is he disguises his voice so well. Because he'll try to imitate God's voice. He will try to imitate his voice. And all of a sudden we listen. Because we haven't been in tune with our Father. And it sounds like him. It sounds something like our Father would say. But man, he begins to lead you down a path that is not the one you're supposed to be on. The enemy will use the flesh to deceive you out of your destiny. There's many people in the pulpit, there's many people in the church that have been deceived out of their destiny. People that are in the grave today had a destiny on their life to change souls and change lives. Thousands of people. And they are in the grave today because they missed the mark. They missed, they followed the wrong voice or took the wrong step. The next step in your life is crucial. See, we can choose emotions and feelings to make our decisions. Anger, hurt, love, unforgiveness, pride. If we use those things to make our decisions, we possibly could look at listening to the enemy. If we make a decision out of hate, if we make a decision out of anger, if we make a decision even out of love, it changes everything about you. See, what we need to do is listen to his voice, his heart for you. What has God called you to be? Who has he called you to be? See, we are supposed to be like Jesus. He is our example. And so many times we walk out into the destiny that we think we are supposed to have. This is who I am supposed to be. You might have all the talents. You might have all the giftings. But God wants you somewhere else. But you decide that this is where I need to be, and you forget to listen to the voice of God. See, today your next step is critical. Today, if you could choose not to follow Jesus, today you could be in here and say, I've never accepted Jesus. I've never made that step towards Jesus. Today could be a critical day in your life where you say, you know what, I choose to follow Jesus. See, this could be a future for you if you take the right step. So I'm just going to be pretty quick today. I'm not going to preach you out of hell. I expect the Holy Spirit to do that in your hearts. The Holy Spirit. See, this is where us as Christians have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If I'm walking out in my destiny that God has called me to be in, and I do not reflect the Holy Spirit at all, I do not reflect the good properties of the Holy Spirit, am I really walking out in truth in the destiny of God? Am I really walking out in the fullness that God has set for me? Or has the enemy taken root in my flesh? Not in your spirit. Get me? Not in your spirit. It's in your flesh. Because all the stuff in my mind is carnal. Right? It says that he will transform you and give you a what? A new heart. God's heart is not a heart that pours out wrath on you. Yes, is he a God of judgment? Absolutely. Absolutely, he is a God of judgment. You know, we hear so many people say, well, you're not supposed to judge. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to judge. Well, we're not supposed to judge. But if you proclaim that you are a Christian and you are living the life of a Christian, I can say, hey, what you're saying and what you're doing is wrong. It does not line up to what God says. Your actions, you're in the taverns, you're out drinking beer, you're out doing all this stuff, probably does not line up to the actions of God. Do I have a right to step up in your life and say, hold it? You're not lining up to your calling. You're not lining up to the voice of the Father. You're not lining up to what the Holy Spirit says you are supposed to act like. I did a celebrative life yesterday. And maybe four people in the room were Christians. Possibly Christians, okay? Possibly. The room was full. There was probably 60, 70 people in the room. Little small room. Fountainhead, Indiana. Lost all my notes. No internet down there because my phone wouldn't link up to nothing. So I ad-libbed it. It's already out in my heart. I already knew what I was going to say. Even when I got to begin to speak, the commotion, they didn't care. But then they quieted down when I said this. I said, not everyone's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I said, if you do not accept Jesus as your Savior, the man right here that we're celebrating his life today, you'll never see him again. The room got quiet. I not going to tell you a false truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I explained it as a mushroom field. Everybody loves the mushroom hunt out there, and I explained it as you have access to these woods because the Father gives them to you through the Son. If you want to go mushroom hunting in that woods, you have to go ask the Son if you can have permission to walk in the woods. And everywhere you go in the woods, you can find mushrooms. And when you find, and usually when you mushroom, are you mushroom hunters in here? So when you do, everybody know where those spots are that you know exactly where they're going to be at next year? Do you ever tell anybody else about them? Huh? Do you ever tell anybody about your special spot? Wow. Some things you just don't share. Well, I'm glad I was talking about the gospel, so we want to share every place that we see the gospel at in our mushroom field. But in real life, in the natural, no, we want to keep those things quiet, right? You don't even take your best friend there, right? The mushrooms are good. But they realized there's only one access. Even though they didn't know the gospel and don't know Jesus, they've heard of his name, but they understand going into the woods and getting permission. They understand walking into woods where you don't have permission, and that's trespassing. Some Christians are trespassing because they're not lining up to the Word of God and to his heart. So it's crucial to take. Your next step is crucial. But here's what you got to look at. Seek God, not sin. Amos 5:4 says, "For thus says the Lord of to the host or the house of Israel, seek me and live. Seek me and live." This is what we're doing every Wednesday night and every Friday night, is seeking the face of the Father. This is what you should be doing every day of your life, seeking the face of the Father. When you seek the face of the Father, he becomes part of you. His character becomes part of you. You root out the enemy in your life, in your flesh. Seek God. How do I draw near to the Father? I can't draw near to the Father as if I'm in sin. I can try to draw near to him, but sin holds me at bay. So if sin holds me at bay, what do I need to do to get closer to the Father? Get rid of my sin. I need to unload and dump that stuff that's in my life, that's in my mind, that's in my heart, that is not of God, that's not in my spirit, but it's in my flesh. So I got to dump those things that's in my flesh that keep me at bay with the Father. The Father loves the Spirit and the communication from Spirit to Spirit. He loves that communication. And for me to take my next step, for it to be crucial, and I know what step I'm going to take, I need to seek the Father in everything that I do. The second thing is fear God and not man. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil at all." You see that? Fear God. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. You will be satisfied with where God has you. You'll be satisfied with what God has in your heart. You'll be satisfied until he takes you to other places. Then he says, he will not be visited with evil. If your heart is satisfied with what God has in store for you or where you're at today, he's saying you will be satisfied. No evil is going to come upon you. But when you are not satisfied with where God has you today, the enemy will come in and begin to deceive you. He is what? He is the deceiver. He is a liar. He will tempt you in all directions and all ways. An addict that is a recovering addict. Those people will, say you've been clean for 3 months. Those people that have been in your life will come alongside and say, "Oh, just come on, one time, just hang out with me one time." If you are not satisfied in your heart what Jesus is doing in you, you will let the flesh overrule your spirit. The flesh is powerful. I mean, it's tough. As men, you know, we see beautiful women. It's hard for us not to look. God created us to be attracted to beautiful women. All of you are beautiful. But as we need to train our eye to stay away from that. That's hard for men. That's probably hard for you women when you see us attractive men. Right? Huh? Don't let the flesh get a hold of you. No, I don't. I'll stop there. Huh? I wasn't saying about me. I was saying about you. I said us men. I had to swallow my pride yesterday. I didn't say anything. So some of you know we were getting trained, and so we were. It's a soil position, right? Soil position. So we were going to say something happened in this building, and we would be going and closing the distance to wherever the thing would be happening, the threat, and we would be pulling our weapon. And getting it off safety, if you shouldn't have it on safety, but some of you do carry it on safety. And then you're getting ready to run up to the threat. And so I had my other hand very close to the muzzle in that position. Okay? So I don't think I did, but he saw it. My eyes couldn't see it. But here's what I did. Yeah, okay, I did. Because I had to understand, like, he's seen, I didn't. I was in the act of doing something I'm not used to doing. And so I had to use their eyes to see what I was doing. And so then I understand how I need to hold my hands in that type of situation. I could have said, oh, no, no, no. I could have fought with him. I said, no, my hand wasn't there. And I did at first. I said, well, I got big hands. You probably couldn't see. And then I realized that was the wrong answer. It's like I need to be humble and listen to what the professionals had to say. And then I needed to learn from it. So I went to him and asked him, okay, how did I have my hand so I won't do that again, personally? That's why we were there, for training. The third thing is love God, not the world. 1 John 2:15 and 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it is lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you like that? That is linked right into pride. Love God, not the world. Don't love where people want to put you on a pedestal. Don't love the accolades that people give you. Okay? Don't try to anticipate if you're going to do something, you're going to put together this big party. Don't expect to have everybody say, oh, you've done a great job. Don't double those accolades. Don't worry about those things. Because that's of the world. That's only of the flesh. The flesh wants to hear that. Not the Spirit of God, not the Spirit that is in you, but the flesh wants to hear that. And what the Spirit of God wants to say is, take the lowest seat, and I'll promote you. Take the lowest place, and I'll put you in charge of many. This is where the flesh tries to overrule the Spirit. See, the enemy is working in your flesh. If you don't think so, just walk out anywhere in the earth. And the enemy will tempt you with something. I guarantee you will be tempted with something today. It's what step and what choice are you going to make? How are you going to act? What are you going to say? Don't love the world and what the world has to say about you. Love what the Father has to say about you. He speaks those things in the quiet place, in the personal place, in the closet is where he speaks those things to you. Then you know I am accepted by the Father because he is communicating with me and giving me encouragement each and every day. But if I'm looking for Sonny's gratification, I'm looking at the wrong person. If I'm looking at Willie's gratification, I'm looking at the wrong person. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve, and his gratification will land upon me. Don't love the world or the world's thoughts for you. Love what the Father has to say about you. Number four, we only got seven. Believe God, not the deceiver. John 8, 43 and 44, and then we're going to go to 47. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to be. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 47 says, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. When we're looking for those things, and the enemy knows what's in your heart, he knows what's in your flesh, and he will use everything that he can. Mistruths. False truths. It really sounds really good, but it'll lead you astray. He'll lead you astray. Believe God in what he says. Believe his promises in your life. Believe those things. Have faith in him. Not the deceiver, not the one that will give you, he will lift you up for now in this world. We see it all over the industry of movies, or the movie stars and all this. They will be lifted up. How many of you ladies watch these movie stars and read the stuff? Anybody read about the movie stars and what they're doing? Anyone? Well, you're all different. You think men don't do it? Do you see what the movie stars are doing? Okay. Well, these magazines are like all out in front for you ladies to look at and say, oh, what's Matthew McConaughey doing? Right? What's he say? All right, all right, all right. Inquiring minds want to know. But what you read in those things are lies. The enemy will take people like those people, even the Scientology church. They are elevating their people, their actors and actresses. In this world, they are elevated. They have the riches, they have the money, they have all the stuff. You could say they have glory in the world. But at the end, where do you want your accolades at? Where do you want to see your glory at? I don't care where I'm at. I want to see in heaven. I want to be glorified in heaven with the Father. Not me glorified, but the Father glorified, but me there seeing it. Fifth thing is obey God, not your appetite. That don't deal with food. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But only one receives a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. When I preach to others, what is my life reflecting? What is my life reflecting? Am I in the obedience of God? Am I doing the disciplines that is stated in this book? In the Bible, I got it over there. But am I doing the disciplines? Am I seeking His face? Am I following His ways? It says yes. It does say if you do these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Jesus said if you do these things, all things will be good for you. Are we loving our neighbor as ourself? We always can do number one. We can always say we love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. But in our flesh is doing other things. In our spirit, we're saying, yeah, I love God with all my heart, all my strength. All my soul, God, I give you praise. But in my flesh, that draws me away from God. It's a battle in the body. It's a battle in the spirit, in the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are trying to be ripped apart. But what you got to do is bring it in submission. Bring your flesh in submission to God, in obedience to Him. The enemy will not have any room to move in your life if you're obedient to God. See, it's not the appetite that we want in our life. It's not the desires of our heart. Yeah, God will give you the desires of your heart if you align with Him. I can say I want to be a movie star. God, I want to be a movie star. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Right? But God does not have that intentions for me. That is not where I'm supposed to be. Hey, we had a movie in the church. There was a wedding in the church. Any of you could have been a movie star. Any one of you could have been a movie star. I believe you all chose not to. But we need to have an appetite for the Father. We need to have an appetite for His kingdom, for His word, for His presence, for His obedience, for His disciplines in our life. Fasting is one of them tough ones where the flesh comes. Man, you know what? How many fast regularly? Okay, we got a few people that fast regularly. This is a discipline that if you want to see what's in your flesh, fast a couple days. See what's in your flesh. It'll come out really, really quick. As you are disciplined in it, it might take you 2 weeks before you start to see it because you're used to it. Some people, the first day, you can't even go 12 hours. And it's like, oh, you're fasting to the Lord. And it's like, I can't live without. Yeah, you can. You can live 68 days without food. Most people can live 68 days without food. Okay, it's just a craving that you have. God has created a beautiful, beautiful piece of machinery in the human body. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing creation of God. And you know what? We tear it down. We destroy it. I was thinking the other day, if I would have known as I get older, all the things that I did, as I smoked cigarettes and as I did things, you know, all the stupid stuff, I'm going to pay for those things as I get older. I'm going to pay for those things as I get older. And I see people that smoke. And I did it. And I had to quit. And because God said, you cannot lay hands on the sick if you're going to continue to kill your body. But I knew down the road when I'm 50 or 60 or 70 years old, what it's going to be like to grab a breath of air. It's going to be terrible. And I see people every day that have smoked all their life and they can't hardly breathe. And it's like they're 70 years old, and like, I don't want to be that when I'm 70 years old. I want to be able to go out and run 10 miles. I want to be able to have strength in my body. You know, we play sports. We do all this stuff. We work. Some of our work, you know, we're on our feet for 12 hours a day. Our knees are getting tore up. You know, buy some good cushions in your shoes, but then also pray over your knees and say, God, I pray over those cushions in my knees. I don't know what you call them. Cartilage. I pray over those cartilage. Rejuvenate themselves. Rejuvenate themselves. Pray over your body. 6, serve God, not self. Serve God, not self. Isaiah 6 and 8. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. If God called you today and you heard him in that secret place that you're at and he said, who shall I send? Could you say, send me? Could you say, send me, that your life lines up with his? Could you say that your flesh is overcome by the kingdom of God and not overcome by the enemy's camp? Little pieces the enemy tries to get in and destroy. I was sitting in the back, so I got two scriptures that I was sitting in there this morning. As I was praying, I said, Lord, I just like this message today, I'm ad-libbing most of this because this is where the Lord told me to be. Be trusting in him, the Holy Spirit. And so I'm in the back, and I was praying. It's like, God, I don't know where you want to go. And I opened up the Bible, and I turned to Psalms 133, 1. And said, I want you to speak this scripture, and then go to Genesis 13:8. I didn't give this to you back. I didn't give this to you back there. He said, "How wonderful! How truly wonderful!" This is the Passion translation. How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. Then it gives a reference to Genesis 13:8 and says, "So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between me and you, you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." Serve God, not self. Serve God, not self. We need a unity in the body of Christ all across this Vigo County. I've been texting some pastors across Terre Haute and not getting no response. And I'm thinking, where is the unity in the body of Christ? Where is the unity? Where has the enemy came in into the flesh and said, oh, if it's not mine, I'm not going to come together with them. If it's not me and not our church, I'm not going to come together with them. If it's not my ministry, if it's somebody else leading the ministry, I'm not going to do anything, and I'm just going to stay away from that. And I'm seeing this so much in the body of Christ, in pastors and leaders across Terre Haute. It's probably going across the whole world. How can we come together? I did text one pastor. I could text Pastor Keith Taylor, and I said, man, I love you, and I'm praying for you. He responded back. He responded back instantly. And I don't care if it's instantly or not, but what I'm saying is he acknowledged something. He acknowledged that we're praying for him. He acknowledged that you know what? He cares for the body of Christ. So I'm kind of distraught in why us as a church, us as a body of believers, have problems with each other. Are we serving God? Or are we serving ourselves? Is it to build my flesh up? Is it to build the church's flesh up? I want to stay so humble in this place. I want to stay so humble in this church that when God moves, like he did today, was just saying 10 people, healed the back issues. Here's what the Lord said to me the other night when we were praying. I said, God, I don't want to wear these glasses no more. And he spoke to me last night when I got up. And he said, I'm gonna make it so you begin to lay hands on the eyes. I don't know when that is. But it's at this church. It's not just me, but it's this church. I'm going to do a move. How will you handle it? How will you handle it? Will you do it and let your church be built up, or will you allow the Holy Spirit to move? And be humble in it. Because it's not us doing the healing, but the Holy Spirit in us. not serving myself, but serving God in all the things that we do. Number seven, worship God, not comfort. It says in Habakkuk 3:17 and 19, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. For the director of the music on my stringed instruments. No matter even if I do not see that my glasses are taken off, I'm still going to serve him. No matter if his spirit is not moving in here at this week or next week or the week after, I'm still going to say, God, I still trust in you. I still believe in you. Even though the pen is empty, I'm still going to trust in my Father. Even though my cupboards are empty, I'm still going to trust in the Father. I'm going to rejoice and worship him no matter what. Not the comfort of my soul, but the glory of our Lord. Man, all of us want to have the good things in life, but you know what? You have a lot of good things in your life, and we rely on them so much. And that is why us as a church in the U.S. of A. has so hard a time to see miracles happen, is because we have everything we need. We have the doctors everywhere, just like today. We knew. When I went like this, they called 911. I knew within about 8 to 10 minutes that there would be somebody here. That's a long time, and you've seen that was a long time. You go to Africa, you ain't calling 911. You're calling the guy that's in the front. You're calling the people that are around. You're beginning to pray. God, you're going to show up. And this is where we're at. As a body of believers in the U.S. of A., it's been comfortable for us. We cannot deal with not being comfortable. You ladies know. It's not all the ladies. I bought a van that was uncomfortable. I didn't buy a van. I rented two vans that were uncomfortable. So what I say is there's 15 ladies that know. They experienced uncomfortability in the van. Both vans. It doesn't matter what van you were in. They experienced the uncomfortable ride for 9 hours down, or probably 10 hours, all the way down to Georgia. You know what I count it as? Blessings. I count it as blessings. Did everybody get to see the miracle? Did all you ladies get to see the miracle? What did that do to you? Encourage you? You get to see both miracles? There was two pools off to the side. Tabby said there was wailing, crying and yelling coming from those two pools. There was a lady that is preaching on the beaches. I don't know where beaches she's preaching at, but they're doing baptisms in the ocean. They are delivering, demons are being delivered. And so she was in one of the pools over to the side, outside where nobody could see, and they would flash to them every once in a while. But there was deliverance happening in the pools. If you got to see a miracle, you were blessed. I mean, a real miracle where you've seen someone not being able to walk and all stiffened up and all of a sudden being getting to run through the sanctuary, that's not heard of. You don't see it on the news. There's been cancer being hit. There's all kinds of stuff happening around the world. God is moving, and you do not see that on the news because the news does not want you to see it. They don't want you to know that there is power in our God. They don't want you to know there's power in the name of Jesus. They don't want you to know none of that stuff. Why is it? Because that goes against their theology. That goes against the enemy's plan that he has for this earth. And what's his plan? Kill, steal, and destroy the things of God. Kill, steal, and destroy the things of God. And that's you. He's trying to destroy you. Even in this church, he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to get into your minds. He's trying to get into your thoughts. He's trying to get into the things in your life to drive a wedge between your people or between your friends or between your church or between your ministries or between your pastors or between the pastors across the Terre Haute. He's trying to drive a wedge. Why can't we come together as pastors in Vigo County? Oh, you can if you're on the same page. You can if you vote the same way. You can come in line with each other. But if you are off just a little bit and you don't believe what they believe, then they don't want nothing to do with you. There's churches around here that don't believe in healing. There's churches around here that don't believe in tongues. There's churches around here that believe that if you got to speak in tongues to be saved. It's not what the Bible says. We read the Bible. The Bible is truth. See, this is the truth. This is not the deceiver of lies. He did not write a book. Yeah, he did write a book. It's called the Quran or witchcraft. He wrote books, but he didn't write this book. The Holy Spirit wrote this book through the inspiration of the Father. God sent this down through the Holy Spirit to men and wrote a book that is true. There's truth in this book. There's no lies or deception in this book. If you read it, you will be convicted. You'll be convicted in your heart. If you're not reading, if you're reading it out of the flesh, you might not be convicted. Because I know a lot of people that read the scriptures and say, well, you ain't supposed to judge. So they're trying to judge me on what the scriptures say. And I said, well, you didn't read the full scripture. You didn't read the fullness or the context of what was said in that scripture. It says if they're believers, you should be able to call them out. Are you living up to the standard that is in this book? Are you living up to the standard of our Father in heaven? Jesus that walked this earth, are you living up to the standard that he set in this place? He's coming back again. He's coming back for a bride that is powerful and mighty, that does not believe the deception of the lies of the enemy. He's coming for truth-believing, Bible-believing people that are reading his word, that are obedient in the things that he does, that says if he says fast, deny your flesh. And you know what? You will find things in your spirit or in your flesh that will come up. Oh, my. You can even do self-deliverance on yourself. You know, October, he was talking about it. Also, the eviction notices. We were gone when he gave the eviction notices. But I've been doing self-deliverance on myself. And it's like, wow, there's some freedom. I didn't feel him go. I didn't feel any enemy go. But what I did feel is a change in who I am. So I knew he left. I knew whatever was in my flesh, and I've been praying this prayer. It's like whatever is in me, whatever's in my flesh, Lord, let's get rid of it. I need to come closer to you. Whatever is in me, let's get rid of it so I can come closer to you. And what I'm doing is I'm seeing a change in who I am. Some of us need to pray that prayer. Some of us need to recognize what God is telling us to get rid of. The enemy will try to deceive you and say, oh, no. Oh, no. You don't need to get rid of that. There's nothing wrong with how you're acting. Nothing wrong with what you're saying. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the enemy is a deceiver. He will give you lies. He will tell you what you want to hear. He will tell you what your flesh wants to hear. Not what the Spirit of God says that's in you, about you, and who you are. He don't want you to know that. He wants your flesh to be changed. So I'm going to close today. So today you might be dealing with a fork in the road. There might be a decision in your life. Young men, young women, old men, old women. There might be a decision in your life today. There might be something that says, I got to take a step, and I don't know which way I'm going to take a step. And I got one voice telling me this and one voice telling me that. I don't know which one's true. So right now I'm going to bind the enemy. Father, all across this room, in the name of Jesus, I bind any demonic spirit, any voice that is not of you. I bind the voices of the enemy in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, come in. and be that voice this morning. Holy Spirit, speak to this congregation. Speak to the ones that are alive. Give them the truth. Which way and which step are they supposed to take? Which way is ordained by God? Maybe you're here today. Keep your head. You can keep your eyes open, bed, whatever. Maybe you're here today and you've never made the choice or decision for Jesus. And you want to make that step today. You want to walk out in that step today. Raise your hand. Anyone? Amen. Have you all been filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. You could be here today and your flesh is drowning. It's drowning out the word of the Lord. Your flesh is just like overtaking God's word about you. It's overcoming you. Father, I just begin to pray for those people. That the flesh of needing accolations, needing to be put up on a pedestal, or Father, I pray over the ones that are just needing to be felt worthy. Father, I pray for them. I pray against the enemy this morning in their flesh. Father, I don't know. Holy Spirit, you do know. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you just begin to touch, speak to the hearts of your children this morning. Father, I pray you do what you do. Father, just begin to lift up this church. Father, we want to be a church that just glorifies you. Glorifies you, God. Whatever you tell us to do, Father, we want to hear your voice. We don't come in here, Father, and sit in here for 2.5 hours just to pacify our spirit. We come in here to be changed. We come in here to worship you. We come in here to hear your word for us today. Father, that we can become more like you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I give you free reign in this house today. Father, free reign. These people came in on their own. Father, I give you free reign just to have your way right now in their spirit. The enemy's bound right now. The enemy's been bound. So what you're hearing today in your heart is just Holy Spirit speaking to you.